welcome to the Hearts Entwined podcast. In this podcast, we'll be having discussions around the secrets which attract lasting, healthy, fulfilling relationships, creating a healthy mindset, and what women should know and understand about men. Introducing your host, Lynn Smith, the Queen of Hearts, relationship expert, trainer, speaker, and best-selling author of The Cupid's Bow Technique. Lynn's mission is to have a positive impact in reducing divorce, domestic violence, and suicide.
Welcome to the Hearts Entwined podcast. This is your host, Lynn Smith, the Queen of Hearts. And today, listeners, I've got a really interesting, juicy subject for you. It's all around sexual healing, healing through pleasure, how our sexuality directly affects our mental, physical, emotional health and well-being. And I've got a fabulous guest. Her name is Ava Pikel. Welcome, Ava.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
And I love this topic. You know, it's something I've not really explored in depth before. So thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your expertise. And firstly, I'd just like you to share with the audience how you got involved in doing what you're doing right now.
Yeah. So I started down a path of suffering with my own emotional afflictions in my life. I had PMDD. And my relationship was suffering. And I noticed that I was also self-sabotaging myself a lot in relationship, even when my partner was emotionally available. So long story short, I ended up becoming a transformational therapist, and I really started to understand the workings of my own mind. And then we can combine that with, you know, the wisdom of sexology, of authentic tantra methods. And I started to weave in these principles of sex and psychology and how we can actually overcome our own emotional, mental afflictions, as well as just amplify our sexuality and our ability for more pleasure as a whole. So those things are very, very interconnected.
They are. And what I'm super interested in is how we can heal through pleasure. You know, where do you start on that topic when you're sort of explaining it to either your clients or an audience?
I start with understanding this concept of fulfillment. A lot of people come to me because they just feel like there's a piece that is missing in their lives. And it's not always sexual. But because our sexuality is such an ingrained foundational piece of who we are as human beings, we can use that. We're hardwired for pleasure, for joy, for connection. But a lot of times it is the thing that people fear the most. And this is where this very unconscious or subconscious piece comes in, where we're all striving towards connection at the end of the day, whether you're consciously aware of it or not, but it's also the thing that we fear the most. So when we understand that, that kind of gives us more of an ability to really start to understand why we make the choices that we make, or the lack thereof, why we feel stuck in certain situations, why we fall into behaviors and patterns that are not benefiting our lives, that are not benefiting our relationships. And it's usually because of that foundational piece of how the mind works.
And what is it that you found about yourself? And what was your, if you don't mind sharing, your pattern that you experienced for yourself, and how did you overcome that?
Yeah, so well, we can backtrack a little bit here. I was a stripper for a little bit, and I would be very attracted to unavailable men. I even dated someone twice my age at one point. So I was the type of person, and this is a form of self-sabotage, right? Where we're choosing partners or choosing to be in relationships with people that are emotionally unavailable. So that was the first thing. You know, there was other components of that. Even when I was in a healthy relationship, and when I began my relationship with my now 5-year partner, where even if he was emotionally available, I was pushing him away. I wouldn't let myself believe that he was there for me. There wasn't even that thought in my mind, you know, because I just assumed that I would get fucked over. I was protecting myself unconsciously. So a lot of times these tendencies, they start to feel like your personality. And I've been told a lot in my life that I'm intimidating and, you know, come across as kind of Can I swear in the in this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, because, you know, I can put an 18 plus on it or adult content, which covers us for that.
Just kind of slips out in the way that in the way that I usually talk. But yeah, a lot of times I would be called that, you know, told that I'm kind of that bitchy personality, right? And so I kind of took that on as a part of, oh, this is just who I am. But in reality, I was really self-sabotaging my relationships, not just romantically, not just with the men that I was choosing to have short-term relationships with, but in all areas of my life. And that really prevented me from fostering the connections that I truly desired. And at that point, I wasn't even aware of the fact that's what I desired, right? So that's how these unconscious tendencies, especially self-sabotage, can really create this this alter reality that we're living in. You know, we're living in this delusion that this is who we are, this is who we'll always be, you know, great men are never available, those types of thoughts. I'm not enough, you know, I'm not ever going to be, you know, lovable enough to have a relationship like that. So all of those thoughts are kind of ruminating in the background. And, you know, those thoughts are what create our actions, right? And those actions create our reality as a whole. So again, it was a very long journey for myself, because I didn't have an understanding of why I was making the choices that I made. So all I knew is that I felt unfulfilled and very stuck, and would fall into depression, anxiety, make choices that were just not good, you know, waking up the next morning with just this guilt and remorse, you know, that type of thing. And it was because of those behaviors that I was choosing to make. And I didn't know why I kept doing that. And even when I went into my healing journey and started to understand these types of choices that I was making, it still took me a very long time to replace those negative thoughts, emotions, feelings, behaviors with positive, constructive ones. And, you know, I wish that I had that wealth of information a lot sooner. So this is what I help a lot of women and men work through, especially in relationships, of where those unconscious tendencies are and how it's affecting us as a whole, you know, not just sexually in the bedroom, but financially, our ability to create platonic relationships. You know, these are all really, really important factors. You know, we can't just talk about our sexuality without talking about all facets of our lives and why we're making the choices that we make.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, it's not just about intimate relationships. It's about all relationships that usually have some sort of common denominator of behaviors that either make them fulfilling and healthy or not, as the case may be.
Exactly.
So for you, what was, I suppose, the turning point? What was there some sort of a moment where you realized that I need to change things?
That's a great question. I think that it was when I started studying to be a transformational therapist. I started to dive deeper into my own sexuality, and I was like, hold up, like this is not working anymore. And it was the turning point for me when I had to take responsibility. I had to take responsibility for my life. And this doesn't mean, you know, forgetting about the past. This doesn't mean forgetting about the people that fucked me over, or, you know, how my parents messed me up, right? This is it's that power, right? It's the resurgence of, like, I have control over my life, and I can trust that I will make the right choices and move in the right direction. I trust myself, you know, and that is taking responsibility for also the pain that I've caused others. I cause a lot of pain in my relationship, you know, and we tend to play the blame game. That's another form of self-sabotage, where in my relationships, I was blaming my partner for the way that I felt. I was blaming them for my actions in the relationship. And even when I had, like, PMDD, for example, which is a mood disorder, you know, I was blaming it on my hormones. And so we kind of play this blame game so that we feel better just for a temporary moment in time. It kind of takes the pressure off of us. And it's also a way that we can relate to other people, because blaming and criticism is a way that it's actually very deeply ingrained in society, where we can connect with anyone, whether we know them or not, through criticism and through like this kind of complain train. So this is a way that we avoid those deeper elements of connection because they maybe feel unsafe to us on an unconscious level. So that was the turning point for me, is just making these connections and then being able to actively work through them. So a huge part of this was communication, and, you know, especially in sexual relationships, long-term monogamous, especially, right? That communication is so, so important. So this happens a lot in couples' lives, is they'll start blaming each other for the lack of pleasure, sensation, fulfillment, joy that they're experiencing in the relationship. And that only creates more resentment. So it's, you know, a lot of women will say, well, he doesn't know where the clit is. He, you know, can't last long enough. And those are all valid. You know, those are all valid, but pleasure is your responsibility at the end of the day and nobody else's. So that's really where we take responsibility for ourselves, for our own pleasure, for the actions that we're making in our relationships as a whole. And that's what creates the possibility of connection.
Absolutely. And I think we're quite often brought up to be more reserved about, especially communication in the bedroom, about what pleases us, aren't we? You know, through, I don't know, stereotypical things that might invoke shame or guilt about actually wanting to explain what actually makes us feel good.
Yeah, 1000%. Communication is not something that is easy by any means. None of us grew up being taught how to communicate effectively. Okay, so a lot of the ways that we communicate in our relationships are not effective at all. Sometimes we feel that anger is an effective form of communication, for example, and it's not. So these are tools that need to be implemented. You can't just learn these from an Instagram post and, you know, change your entire relationship. I'm not saying that can't add some benefit to your life, but it really does take these steps and your courage and ability to work on it every single day. And you need support in order to do that. We also need support to change those neural pathways, those pesky beliefs and behaviors and patterns that we've been stuck in for decades, right? So it's not as simple as just asking for what we want. You know, it goes deeper, and there has to be that wave of vulnerability that is willing to be shown a lot of times. But it's scary to go there because we don't know who we are on the other side of that sometimes. Sometimes relationships have to end. Sometimes big, huge changes, massive things have to happen in order for us to actually fulfill those needs and desires that we've been suppressing for so long. So it's that type of support that is necessary when we move forward in communicating, not just in our relationships, but as a whole. Because at the end of the day, we're striving towards that deeper layer of connection. And that calls for big changes in our lives that can sometimes be really scary.
Yes, it can. But I think one of the first things we can admit to ourselves is, and I think a really good step that you mentioned, is acknowledging that we need to take responsibility for ourselves and not, I mean, there obviously are things that other people do to us, especially in intimate relationships, that we can point the finger and say, he did this, and know that's an absolute truth. But the thing is that, you know, there are things that you can probably look at in your own reaction or response to that, whether it's being allowing unacceptable behavior, even, that can be your responsibility in the part that you played.
Exactly. I love that you said that. And at the end of the day, we're stuck in these patterns and behaviors because we don't feel like we're enough. There's a part of ourselves that we believe is not lovable, right? So we filter that. That creates this filter in our perception of our own reality. And that's the reality we live in for a very long time until we really allow ourselves to come out of that fog. So I'm happy that you said that. Yes, that the things that happen in our lives are usually our responsibility. I'm not saying horrible things don't happen to people. Things happen all the time that are out of our control, you know, especially like sexual abuse and things like that. That is out of our control. But there's an opportunity for us to take responsibility for the way that we're feeling now in our adult lives and be able to shift our perception of that. And I think that a lot of people mistake that as forgiveness, but forgiveness is not always appropriate. It's about taking your power back from situations that is ruling over your adult life, right? Many of us are living in the thoughts and behaviors and beliefs of a child. Our brain doesn't know the difference. So when we put that into perspective, it kind of seems really silly, right? That we're functioning, literally functioning off the thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors of a child, right?
Yeah. And I understand exactly what you mean, because I went through trauma, you know, in my teens that was really all to do with sexual assault. So I know fully what you're saying. And it took me, you know, years, years and years to actually come to the realization that, you know, I was allowing those perpetrators to have the power over me to affect my life in a negative way. And I now know that I was able to change that.
Exactly.
And why would you want your perpetrators to have power to negatively impact your life when you think about it? No one in the right mind, really, when you think about it, wants that. But we do that to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. It's functioning to keep us in a false sense of safety. It's what we're also familiar with. Our brain is only going to create behaviors based off what we're familiar with, right? We have to make the unfamiliar familiar so that we're actually creating change in our lives and we're having more fulfilling experiences. Exactly.
And I think the best way to take our power back is to actually live a great life and not allow those perpetrators to have that control over the way we feel and the way we behave going forwards. You know, and it's perfectly possible to live a successful life. And that's just letting go of the fact that, you know, even if you didn't get what I put in inverted commas, legal justice through, you know, the court system, which I didn't get, I believe there's a higher power. And that's not from a religious perspective. That's just, you know, from my own sense of morals and beliefs, that will deal out its own justice. You know, I do believe the universe will deal out its own justice on my perpetrators. And that leaves me free then to get on with my own life, knowing that that's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think this really brings us to that healing component of what our sexuality can do for us, right? A lot of us talk about taking our power back through our sexuality and through our pleasure, right? But what does that mean? For me, it means to use my pleasure, right? And not just sexual pleasure, but pleasure in all facets in order to work with those emotions and feelings and behaviors that I'm experiencing. So what we're doing is transforming it and transmuting it into something beneficial, into medicine. It's not about fucking your way through it and trying to, you know, push towards the best orgasm or, you know, just engaging with sex with your partner because that's what you think you should do. It's about transforming it and transmuting it into something new. And that's really how sexual healing works for me and for my clients, is being able to sit with whatever we're experiencing and transmute it into that medicine that we need in that moment. And we might not even know what that is, but it's that natural occurrence because we're built for this. We're wired for it. We literally are wired for pleasure.
Yeah, we're quite hedonistic creatures, really, humans, aren't we?
Yeah, and we can take that a step further, right? Because that's already a part of our foundational part, you know, being a human being, we can take that deeper, right? So in authentic tantra, you know, we use different tantric methods and lineage in order to come into higher states of awareness, right? Shed the light on our deep, deeply profound moments that are bigger than just ourselves. And that's where the magic can happen, right? It's not about pushing towards this grand experience of ecstasy, but truly embodying what it means. You know, and this brings me to the concept of like transcendence. A friend of mine really put this into perspective, and she said transcendence is just a full embodiment of her sexuality and of her pleasure. It's not something that we're escaping. So, you know, when I first started meditating and that sort of thing, I was, what I thought transcendence was, is like going into the ethers, right? Close my eyes, go into a dark place, and I'm like, boom, out of my body. That's not what I'm talking about. I think that transcendence is truly that ability for us to come in and accept all pieces of ourselves, and even use things like our sexuality as a form of healing and as medicine.
Love it. And I love what you're doing to help people live a more pleasurable life and, you know, implement some sexual healing, because I think there's such a lot of people, you know, that have been affected by trauma in their past, especially around sexual abuse and stuff like that. So, you know, I think it's great that you're on that path, and I love what you're doing in terms of sharing your wisdom.
Thank you. Yeah, and it really does start with you, right? A lot of people will say, well, I don't have a partner, I can't work on this. That's another form of sabotage. You don't want to go there because you don't have a partner, but you have to practice yourself. I did not bring my sexual healing practice into my relationship until a year and a half into it. There was so much stuff and dark, deep shit that I had to work through that I wasn't even thinking about layering this additional energy on top of it, right? That was just going to throw me out of the water, right? So it is about that gentle, slow, that gentleness, that slow type of mentality of like, let me cultivate this with myself, you know? And I might add that actually does indirectly affect your relationships, obviously, because you're working on those things continuously, maybe before even inviting your partner into that space as well.
I love that you said that. You know, it's so important, isn't it, to do the work on ourselves. And then if you're in a relationship, you can introduce that, like you said. But if you're not in a relationship, to use that period of time whilst you're single to, you know, be the best person you can be for yourself so that you can attract a better, high quality relationship going forward.
Yeah.
So Ava, tell the audience, what's your best contact information should anybody be inspired and interested from our conversation to want to reach out to you?
I have some great information and daily posts on my Instagram. You can find me at ava.pikul, P-I-K-U-L, on my Instagram.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And any final words around sexual healing and healing through pleasure that you want to leave our audience with before we wrap up the episode?
I believe if you're not sure where to start, is to just address the current emotions, feelings, and behaviors that you're currently experiencing, because a lot of this is unconscious and can be difficult to understand. So my suggestion is to just find the support that is resonant to you. And then you can start to layer these additional things on top, right? So like the sexual healing aspect, for example. But I think the important part is to first understand why we're making the choices that we make on an unconscious level, so that we can change our brain, change our mind, change our lives. And then we can start adding those additional things on top and addressing the relationship or our sexuality or the sexual trauma, right?
Right, absolutely. I think it's important to say, you know, don't beat yourself up if you have realized you've been doing these things unconsciously or even consciously. You know, don't beat yourself up. We've all made those sorts of mistakes. You know, the first step towards changing things is just taking that first small step, isn't it?
Yeah, 1,000%.
Thank you so much, Ava. I've really found this a really fascinating conversation, and really enjoyed it, and would love to invite you back on to talk about other things going forward in future episodes.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
So it just leaves me to say that true love starts with opening our hearts. And until next time, goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Hearts Entwined podcast. You can follow Lynn via the Facebook group Two Hearts Entwined, or search Lynn Smith, inspirational speaker, at LinkedIn, or email lynn@hearts-entwined.com. That's lyn@hearts-entwined.com. Remember, true love starts with opening our hearts.